What you now see before you is a portion of the Book of Enoch, which belongs to the Jewish apocalyptic and intertestamental literature, material that was written between the canonical books of the Old Testament and the time of the writing of the books of the New Testament. It is categorized as pseudepigrapha, partly because it's attributed to authors from ancient times, usually mystical or authoritative authors that came from very great antiquity, in order to give the book more authority. This particular book is a collection. It was written over a long period of time. Portions of it probably date from the 2nd century BC, and other portions, some of the middle sections, probably come from as late as the 1st century AD. And there are scholars who believe that some sections of this book were influenced by early Christianity. It's of interest to us because it incorporates images that we have seen of vision, the vision of heaven and the ascent into the heavenly realms, the beholding of the structure of heaven that we've already seen in both Plato and in Cicero, and it puts it in the context of Jewish worship, Jewish religion. It is of very great interest for us also from the standpoint of the monastic tradition because it provides an image of contemplation which was influential in the developing mystical tradition of early monasticism. The image of the heavens, particularly images of ice and of fire and of the blueness of water and of the sapphire stone, which we see in the book of Daniel and which we will see briefly in this text, also recurs very regularly in the writings of Evagrius Ponticus and his description of contemplative vision. There are also modern authors who suggest that the Christian monastic tradition has very strong roots in the tradition of Jewish apocalyptic literature. And that is somewhat controversial, but however true it may be, this text is of interest to us because of the imagery it provides. I should mention also that it is regarded as canonical scripture in the Ethiopic Church. And so this book, along with the Ascension of Isaiah, another text we won't be looking at, are found in complete form only in Ethiopic, and the church there, as I mentioned, regards it as canonical literature. There are fragments of this book also found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and so it was influential at and during and before the time of Christ in the area of Palestine. It exists in Greek translation, or at least large portions of it do, and it seems to have influenced the New Testament writings at several points. There is a citation from the Book of Enoch in the letter to Jude. But let's now look at the text itself, beginning with chapter 14. Note how this ancient person, Enoch, who is only mentioned in the book of Genesis, but is a fascination to the later tradition because of the phrase in Genesis, and Enoch walked with God. Well, the vision is shown him, and notice how nature is such a significant part of this image. The clouds called me, a mist summoned me, the course of the stars, the lightning urged me on and hastened me, and the winds caused me to fly, lifted me upwards, and bore me to heaven. And what does he see in heaven? He says he sees a wall built of blocks of ice. Sometimes this is translated as crystal, but in fact it refers specifically to ice and surrounded by tongues of fire. So there's this wonderful contradicting contrast between the blocks of ice and the tongues of fire. And then he discovers that the house is made of stone tile work of snow, and its ceiling like the course of the stars and made also of the fiery cherubim. So there's this juxtaposition of fire and of water, of these two elements, of ice, of freezing cold, and of very great heat. And as he enters the house, as it goes on, it was as hot as fire and as cold as ice. And like the prophet Daniel, he beholds God. He enters even more deeply into a second house, which is composed completely of lightning and of fire, and within he sees God. Again, the image of wheels, of crystal, of cherubim, very much imagery drawn from the book of Daniel. The great glory sat upon the throne. His raiment was like the appearance of the sun, whiter than any snow. And I've included in a different color and in smaller type a citation from the Gospels showing how very similar this is to the description of Christ's transfiguration. Carrying on and dropping down further, Enoch hears the voice of the Lord, and then there's a long section which is not reproduced here, which has to do with angelology. One of the points of this book is the state of the fallen angels, the angels that were responsible for the birth of the giants because of the liaisons with human women that they entered into. It goes on in chapter 17, and he sees even more of heaven. He sees the places of the luminaries. Note how similar this is to the myth of Ur. He sees the place that receives the setting of the sun, the mountains of darkness. And then dropping down into chapter 18, he sees the winds of the earth, and all of it has to do with the place of torment for the fallen angels, as we'll see. But as we'll see here, there is a throne of God, which is a throne of sapphire, an image that occurs in Deuteronomy 24, in the book of Daniel, and also to some extent in the book of Revelation, this sapphire place on which God stands. Then dropping down further into chapter 19, which concludes the initial section, I've given you the Greek text here as well because there is a Greek fragment, but beginning in chapter 71, we have text for which there is no Greek original. This only exists in the Ethiopic version, and it's not contained in the Qumran Aramaic versions, which suggests that it may be a later edition. It's very interesting because it's a retelling of the ascent of Enoch, and here Enoch again rises up into the heavens. He sees again a structure built here of crystal, not so much of fire, and he sees the various angelic ranks, and then I've highlighted and put in boldface type, he falls upon his face, his body relaxes, and he says, "And my spirit was transfigured." Now, the whole point of looking at this text, and I hope you will go back and look at it in a little more detail, is that we have here literature that comes not from the Greek philosophical tradition, although there may be some element of influence of that tradition by the time the later portions of this text come to be written, and maybe even also in the earlier ones, but literature which is basing itself on the prophetic tradition of the Old Testament, which has strong resonances and echoes with New Testament theophanies, and especially with the Transfiguration. The seer sees heaven, beholds God, learns the mysteries of heaven, and is transfigured. There is a transformation of the one who engages in the spiritual ascent. This will be a very important theme in the later monastic literature. As you behold God in the scriptures, in your own interior struggle, you are yourself changed. This, as we mentioned, is a notion that comes from Plato, a vision that transforms, this theoria, this beholding, that changes the one who beholds. And with this, we will stop, and beginning with the next folder and the next set of lectures, we will look at biblical literature specifically and on texts that come from the New Testament and early monastic period, as well as material from the period of the martyrs.